Welcome to the Art Scene, presented each week by UA Little Rock Public Radio. The performing arts this autumn are brimming with plans, led by the 60th anniversary of the Little Rock Central High School crisis. UCA in Conway has a calendar of events. Be sure to call 501-450-3293. Time itself is being stretched, with all the Arkansas Symphony's season openers ahead. The first Masterworks Symphony concert with violinist Jennifer Frauci. She will also open the River Rhapsodies season. First Masterworks, and a bit of background about the soloist. Jennifer Frauci began violin lessons at Suzuki when she was 3, following her older sister, and was acknowledged early on for her gifts at home in classic and contemporary repertoire. She has had several new works composed for her. When in the growing years of both as a person and as a musician, did you actually perform as a soloist?
And when you say as a soloist, you mean with orchestra or just you mean by myself?
Oh, no, with an orchestra. Yes.
Well, actually, I had a few opportunities to play with orchestra when I was quite young, meaning maybe even 10 and 11, because my violin teacher at that time put together some small concerts on his own and put together a small orchestra for which I got to play a Mozart concerto, I remember. And then when I was 12, 13, I started winning some competitions, and as part of the prize of some of those competitions was getting to play with, you know, a local orchestra, small orchestras in the L.A. area, which is where I grew up. So, but yeah, I did have, some opportunities to play as soloist orchestra, even going.
Then, as the years went by and you got more and more requests or looked for places where you could join slightly more advanced than you had been and you were ready for it? When you were doing that, as you were growing older, did you find that you were being invited more often as you were growing older and more proficient? Did you have to look for it yourself?
Ah, I see. Well, there is a natural progression where it was when I was in my teens, the opportunities I had to perform typically came from as a result of having won competitions. So there, it's not that I was doing competitions all the time, but over the course of a year, I typically would do at least one or two, if not maybe three in a given year. And pretty much all the competitions I did, there was a reward involved, performance opportunities. And so that those were in my teen years, 2021, that was, I was performing on a somewhat regular basis, but as a result of a competition like one. And then, yes, at a certain point, and this is how a career is built, I did get a manager who was someone who then helped book concerts. But those did come as a result, and some of those came as a result of auditions I took, like going and playing for conductors. But yeah, at a certain point there is...
Well, I've been looking through the very useful sort of list that Arlene put together for me, or for you, for people to realize just what you have done and where. And I was intrigued with the second paragraph where it talks about you've performed with the Cincinnati Symphony a reimagining of Vivaldi's Four Seasons.
Oh, I see. That's something I'm doing later at the end of this season, actually. There's a project that's instigated by a conductor who wanted to he has a partner named, a musical partner named Sam Haken, who has rewritten some, not all of the Four Seasons, but certain movements, certain parts of them, so that the orchestration is different, even some of the violin writing is different. And in Corp, it has a rhythm section. There's some, I'm not sure in that particular performance if there'll be dancers as well, but a lot of it just has to do, it's not the traditional orchestration with your harpsichord and continue. Mm-hmm. So there's actually like a full percussion and rhythm section playing, and so some of it is, you know, it's very much in the spirit of Vivaldi, but some of it's been jazzed up. Yeah, so some of it's actually been recomposed.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because I wondered if you had been attracted to jazz with all the things that you have done, because I had a wonderful opportunity to talk to a jazz clarinetist. They have a good jazz program at one of the universities near here. In sort of thinking to myself, well, I don't know much about jazz, but I do know that I like a clarinet. And he was delightful. His name was Eddie Daniels. I don't know if you heard of him.
Yeah, I have heard that name, yes.
And he, we were talking, and he's very keen on Vivaldi because of the rhythms. And he says he's just as likely when he's doing a concert to switch from jazz to Vivaldi and back. And in his opinion, and this he said very forcefully, that Vivaldi was the original jazz musician because of his rhythms. And how he suddenly improvises on the way. And he used to do that, Vivaldi did apparently, where he'd go out for a concert and the audience never knew what he was playing because he changed. He would play something different for the particular piece he'd been hired for or whatever, or asked to play, because he just wanted to see what would work with the rhythm. And rhythm is obviously at the heart of everything he does. And I wondered if you'd been tempted to try your hand or go to somebody like that and just have fun and, you know, have a jazz session.
Right. Well, me personally, no, because I, as much as I would love to be able to improvise, I don't. Sadly, and you know, I have a very traditional had a very traditional training, classical training, which unfortunately didn't involve improvisation. Although I think every musician's training should, if you know, being the ability to improvise, and that's really been lost to a lot of you know, recent generations. Whereas going back to Vivaldi's time, to the Baroque era, but going, you know, forward through the 20th century, every musician really was, that was part of, you know, the training, was just to be able to sit down at the instrument or to for, sit down at the piano for any instrument, less actually, whether you played violin, clarinet, or harp, and, you know, be able to do some basic improvisation on a harmonic progression. But that's right. I mean, Vivaldi is the Four Seasons, of course, is very familiar to everyone, but he wrote, he had an enormous corpus of works, particularly for the violin. He wrote so many violin concerti. And one of the characteristics is, other than the fact that he's harmonically very, he's adventurous and really quite brilliant, but yes, a lot of the rhythmic quality, particularly of his fast movements, and what's exciting about the Four Seasons, or that it is a great departure point. You know, there are all these familiar melodies and familiar sections in the Four Seasons, but there is tremendous possibility to take off from there. So, in this particular project, I'm basically performing someone else's reimagining. It's not my own.
No, but have you been sort of caught up in it because it is different and because it does have some touches that you haven't been asked to do in a piece before, because this other composer is challenging his...
Right. No, of course, it's very appealing because and actually really fun, because, you know, I've played The Four Seasons Although the thing about the Four Seasons is, even if you just do what, if you take the score as Vivaldi wrote it, there are so many different possibilities interpretively that people forget about because people get used to hearing it a certain way. But there's so much freedom one can take with just without even changing it, without doing any, you know, improv or actually altering what he wrote. But there's a you know, in terms of the colors one can get, the kinds of techniques one can use to get to paint the picture that he, Four Seasons specifically, you know, based on these poems about the four seasons of nature. And so they're really quite, they're like tone poems, you know, painting a certain picture, each movement of each concerto. So in terms of the colors you can draw from the instruments, not just the violin, but from the entire ensemble, and then the rhythmic liberties one might decide to take. I love playing the Four Seasons because you can run as wild as your imagination allows you to. In a way that, you know, I wouldn't take anywhere near those kinds of liberties with certain other, but with that particular piece, the possibilities are really endless. So, you know, even without getting into someone else's reimagining of the piece, it's a piece that imagination to carry you very, very far.
So, sort of, you're improvising. You're not going into improvisation as such, but you are taking liberties
interpretively. Yes.
Yes, and that makes a difference. And as you say, the colors that you can portray, they're vital for people like Vivaldi and others who build their own in. But it's just a part and parcel of being a person with a skill that a lot of us would like to have too, to be able to speak with an instrument in a way that you don't always have the same quality of conducting or portraying in just regular speech. You're coming here, that's the big one, Sibelius, with
yes, I'll be playing the Sibelius
orchestra, yeah. And that's the one that I talked about with Alexei because he was doing the first movement with the youth orchestra. Mm-hmm. And we had a talk about it, and I have it that it's not the most comfortable concertis, this Sibelius.
There aren't that many concerti that are I'd describe as comfortable.
Well, this one seems to have a lot of anger in it, and it has some...
There is a lot of, yeah, I mean, there's... And in this piece, although I do, yeah, I mean, there's a very, a stormy quality, I think, to his, to the piece, although I find... very large pocket of warmth in the slow movement, in the central movement, which does have a stormy section or to it and quality to it, but it is at its core a very, I would not go so far as to say sunny, but rich and warm, has a rich and warm quality to it, which I think helps to offset the darkness of the first movement in particular. It is, I mean, it's a difficult work in a couple of ways. It's well written for the violin, but it's not the most idiomatic writing. And, it certainly is painting an oral landscape and using the violin towards that this idea, it's a soundscape that he was creating. So instead of writing a piece to serve the violin is serving the music. And so that's what makes it, you know, not the most comfortable piece as well, because it's, you know, wasn't written just to highlight the wonderful quality of the instrument, but rather vice versa, the other way around. And then there are some formidable technical challenges, and it's also it's symphonic writing, so there are always challenges in a piece written that's scored the way this one is for orchestra that's really, you know, playing on a font scale, there's just the challenge of balance, which is often a challenge with violin concerti, but I think it's a particular challenge with this one, with Sibelius. I mean, that struggle kind of written into the music.
Jennifer Frauci, violinist, joins the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra on Saturday, September the 30th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, October the 1st at 3 p.m. at Robinson Center, downtown Little Rock. In the matinee performance, students K through high school are admitted free with a ticketed adult. For tickets, call the Symphony Box Office, 501-666-1761. The Arkansas Symphony's first River Rhapsodies of 1718 follows hard on the heels of the Masterworks One pair. The violinist Jennifer Frauci has hardly time to catch her breath before she takes the limelight again 2 days later. However, Philip Mann, who knows her well, says she is a real trooper. River Rhapsodies concerts are well attended, among the most popular of the Arkansas Symphony series. Audience and players are close in the Clinton Center. This particular concert features the artist of distinction, selected each year by the music director, and Jennifer Frauci will draw even more to the center. She will be heard in a solo work, her own choice, and will join the ensemble to close the evening with Tchaikovsky's Souvenir de Florence. Philip Mann outlines the program for us.
And the mixture that we've been able to come up with, I think, over the last couple seasons has been just a really nice balance. And you'll see some of that on this first program. We've got Schoenberg, I should say, because he's from L.A. and he's American, so he says Schoenberg, his winter music, which is a very short 7-minute work for wind quintet. It was commissioned by the Quintet of the Americas and premiered in 2012, and it's just kind of a little gem, delightful little bonbon of a piece that kind of celebrates the sound and blend of the wind quintet. Adam is our composer of the year, and on the first Masterworks program, we'll have a piece called Go, and it's kind of the opposite sensibility of Go. Go is a rip-roaring, fast-paced race that depicts an actual physical race, narrative of a race in the music. And winter music is much more melancholic. It has the colors of winter, the coldness and the kind of affect that one would expect from the notion of winter. To kind of warm that up a little bit and in juxtaposition, we've put an arrangement by the flutist Valerie Coleman. She's also a composer, and your listeners may remember her as a member of the Imani Winds, who have come here to Little Rock in the past, and it's an arrangement of the traditional spiritual Steal Away for that same wind quintet ensemble. And following up with that, we have solo selections that will be to be announced by Jennifer Frauci, our fantastic artist of distinction. She's a wonderful violinist. I've enjoyed collaborating with her in the past. She's got incredible chops and virtuosity, but also a real depth of musicianship and kind of a facility with different repertoires that is really rare to see. Somebody that can really, that's almost omnivorous as a musician. And she's going to be presenting, perhaps it may be some selections of solo Bach or Isai, but some things just for solo violin. And the last piece on the program will be familiar to many of your listeners, and that's Tchaikovsky's Souvenir de Florence. And it has kind of a decidedly Italian flair to it. Although, if you really listen to it, you wonder how much he really picked up in his shopping in Florence. It has a sensibility of kind of joy and of exuberance and of maybe vacation and triumph. And part of that, I think, comes from where Tchaikovsky was in his life at the time. He was a huge celebrity.
As a chamber work, how many members of the public play it?
It's six musicians. It's two violins, two violas, and two cellos. And Jennifer Frauci, our artist of distinction, will be one of the violinists in that ensemble. One of the really special things for me as a programmer or as a music director is to bring in these well-established, well-known guest artists that have something very powerful to offer musically, and then to put them in the intimate setting of a chamber music ensemble with our star musicians. And to see the collaboration and how the filtering of great ideas and that kind of infectiousness of great musicianship, it really benefits the orchestra as a whole. And it's a huge priority for me that we continue that kind of thing.
In the time we have left, here is a bit more of the Sibelius Violin Concerto. Thank you. And that concludes the program for this week. Please join us next weekend at the same time. I'm Ann Nicholson. Thank you for listening.
The Art Scene is a presentation of UA Little Rock Public Radio.